Hallelujah and shalom.
I want to invite us into a very wonderful study, the study of the Community Discovery Bible Study, where we study the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and allow the Word of God to get into our hearts and transform us so that our roots of faith may be developed and established. We're in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. We will learn so much from this book. It is a book that has a lot of theological gospel or theological interpretation of the gospel. This book is more about dealing with the root causes of drifting from the faith in Jesus Christ. We have always said that we are in a pilgrimage, that we are following Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way, and you cannot come to the Father, cannot go to the Father except through him. But I want to say from here that in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says there is another way, or there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end it leads to death and destruction. And so I want to say or to ask us to picture two ways that are parallel to each other. And this other way is not called a way per se, it's called a byway. It's called a pathway. It's a smaller way. This smaller way has been kept alongside the highway of faith in Jesus Christ so that it can continue to remove people from this highway. And this is what has been all the time. It is going alongside this one so that those that are tired, those that are ignorant, those that have rejected the true faith can slip and fall into this one. They can drift into this one. And so the book of Galatians will help us to deal with the root causes of drifting from faith in Jesus Christ. Paul visited the provinces or the province of Galatia at least three times in his missionary journey. In every missionary journey, he visited the churches in Galatia or in the provinces of Galatia. So they benefited more than any other province. Remember, we said the other day that Paul also visited the province of Minor Asia. He visited the province of Achaia. He visited the province of Macedonia. He visited the province of Syria up there. But this Galatia, he did more than any other time, because it was at the root, at the gateway to get into his missionary journey. And so he went there to establish the roots of faith of the fellowship that are there. So these people first received both Paul and his gospel preaching warmly. But later, when the agitators or those antagonists and false teachers challenged Paul and his teaching, the church started drifting away from faith in Jesus Christ. They challenged the truth about Paul. They said that Paul is not a true apostle. They said that Paul have not seen Jesus. They say that Paul does not qualify to be an apostle because he was not receiving even help from them, and he did not have all the characteristics of a true apostle. Especially, he did not walk with Jesus, they claimed. And so they said the gospel that he wrote was not a true gospel. And so they managed to take the hearts of people. Just like the way Absalom took the hearts of people from his father David. So they managed to take the hearts of people. And this letter is meant to help us understand why they managed to do that, the root cause, and how Paul tried to return them back into the highway of faith. So this letter was written as a defense of faith in Jesus as the only basis of membership in God's new family, not circumcision and not following the Jewish law. The outcome of this letter is to understand how the king's blessing, that is, the kingdom of God, would bring the hearts of the sons back to their father, that is to Paul, and the heart of the father, Paul, back to their sons by confronting bewitching strongholds in his sons from the Galatian religion or region. We will learn how a father confronts disloyalty in his sons, which robs them of the most important element of discipleship, that is, trust and obey. This quotation brought about bleeding of the father, that's Paul was bleeding, and barrenness of the sons. It's nothing as bad when the fathers and the sons are fighting, because the fathers get the hearts bleeding and the sons get to be very barren, and the generation is at stake. This study helps us to turn believers who are drifting away from their faith in Christ to different religions by confronting six strongholds. One, the stronghold of introducing a different Jesus, a different gospel, and a different spirit or different spirits. So these agitators, these false teachers, had managed to build a stronghold by introducing a different gospel. And by so doing, that different gospel had different Jesus, had different, another gospel, and had different spirits. So they were able to bring out that fake, you know, that fake and counterfeit gospel. And the people did not know the difference again. But number two, which is chapter two, they were able to discredit the spiritual leader of this community called Paul. They talked ill of Paul. They insulted Paul. They said Paul could not be an apostle because he does not have the mark of Christ, and he does not have permission to write such a letter with such an authority. Number three, they took control of the minds of this community of believers by bewitching, by controlling. They took control where Paul was saying, who bewitched you? Then number four, they took advantage of the immaturity of the followers they had in spiritual dimension. So the followers did not have that understanding of the spiritual dimension. And I tell you this, when people are ignorant of the spiritual dimension, they are at stake. And number five, believers had little knowledge that they were very helpless of the wrong way and the right way. They were indifferent of which way to follow, and they were helpless to fight for themselves. It's very wrong, because even if they were challenged, they didn't have anything. They were empty. They did not have the true and the right gospel. And finally, the leaders were silent over the followers' burdens. They could not be able to carry the burdens of the people. So Paul is writing this letter to try and help break those strongholds from his sons. So it's like his children have been taken captive, have been taken prison again. They were free, they were roaming up there, they were free to do the will of God, and they have been taken captives. And actually this book is about how the agitators and the false teachers, the East of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herod, can be able to take people who are free and take them back to be slaves again. Can you imagine? And these are your own children. How would you get them out? So particularly this session, which will start from verses 1, and I want us to do, you know, verses 1 all the way to 10, around there, or 11. This session, we want to quickly focus on understanding the difference between the true gospel and the other gospel. Let's look at the difference between the right way of relationship and the wrong way of culture and efforts. And we also want to understand that Paul explaining his call, that he was called by the Father, called by God, he was not called by men, and he is now trying to answer the questions they were asking. So this book is more of an apology. It is apologetic in nature. And so let's quickly look at a few things that can help us, because Paul would be able to give his own testimony and how he relates with this. And so he'll be answering who is an apostle, and he says he's an apostle because of the authority. Look at what he says from verses 1. Paul, an apostle, sat there, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. So Paul began by talking about, he says, I am an apostle. Why does this letter start like this? Because they were challenging the apostleship. That tells you that that's first statement, Paul, an apostle. And then he says, I'm not an apostle sent by man, because the accusation was that he is not apostle of God. He has either sent himself, or he has been sent by men, or he has been sent by God. But they were not saying, but they were saying he was not sent by God. So the other two were the one that they were preaching. So he said, no, I am not sent by men. I am not sent from men. And he'll be explaining this until they really get it. Then he says, I'm sent by Jesus Christ. And then he compared Jesus Christ with God's authority. He talked about the authority of Jesus and that of God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. They are at par. They are the one who have sent me. In other words, I've been sent by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. My calling, my mission comes from there. That's where my authority is coming from. Then he talked, so he said about that this is great. He will now talk about something to do with the Father, the one who have sent him. He will be explaining to them so that he make them understand that his call has come from the Father, God the Father, and God the Son. So if I say that God is the one who, God the Father, raised Jesus from the dead, then he says he is sending with the brothers and sisters. Then he says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he comes again and he says that I am wishing you grace that brings peace. But they come from God the Father and God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings God the Father and God the Son at par again. That's where grace, they are the source of grace. But then he says this Jesus is the one who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father. So he says, Jesus, now here, he is the one who gave his life. This is the one who have sent me. The one who gave his life, he gave himself because of our sins, so that he could rescue us from the present evil age. Now he is setting the pace to tell them that Jesus came to give them liberty. That liberty is the rescue. And because the Galatians false teachers while actually taking the liberty, he says the liberty that you have received is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has rescued us from this evil age. He also says the present age is evil. But as he says, it is according to the will of God the Father. So God the Father and God the Son, they are working in such a close relation. Then he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then immediately, he jumped into the people that he's writing to. Now, who did he say that he is writing to? He is writing this to all the brothers and to all the sisters. But now, let's quickly look at the target audience. Now, let's look at the gospel. What kind of gospel? Why is Paul writing this letter? Verses 6 to 11. And this is where we go. Now, first, he began by talking about to all the churches in Galatia. The church in Galatia, was a province. There were several churches. Derbe was there, and Galatia church was there, and several others. So he says, grace and peace to you. Of course, he has already told us that this is where he's coming from. So chapter verses 6, he now gives why he's writing. Very fast, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Jesus and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. This is the case. And they are trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let that person be cast or under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you first accepted, let that person be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or all of God? Of course, I'm trying to please. Of course, I'm not trying to please people. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so Paul Liddy is talking about that these people are turning to a different gospel, which is not gospel at all, but that person would be under God's curse. Father, we thank you. Help us to keep looking at the gospel and not ever to exchange the gospel, in Jesus' name.